Welcome to the October 24th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Live Passionately. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning because Jesus Christ is alive and we get to worship Him. And so we get to do that together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. We do that through pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could fill this out for us, just put your name down. Give us your contact information. If there have been any changes or you'd like to give some new contact information, check appropriate boxes. And then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask once it gets back, if you could, once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, that will help us greatly. We do ask the first person who filled it out this morning, when it gets back to you, if you could take out the pages that were used today and just lay it right on top, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service today. Thank you for helping us out with that very important pew pad. A few announcements. We are having children's celebration today. This is when all our kids, we're going to head out. We're going to go right after hymn number 211. Okay. We're going to go to Smith Hall for children's celebration. And parents, that's where you can pick your children up at the end of the service. Today is our Fall Family Festival. This is an event for people of every age. We're coming together today from 4 until 7. We have lots of activities, inflatable games, good food, chili, soup, all the fixings. We're going to start the games at 4. At 5 o'clock, dinner will be served. If you're able to provide chili and soup, we certainly appreciate that, desserts as well. And just going to have a good time being together today from 4 until 7. Speaking of food, yesterday we had a big event for Spies Elementary. Our church was raising money for the PTSA there at Spies. And Andrew and his crew did a great job of cooking chicken and all the green beans and potatoes and nice roll and dessert. So it was a great event. But there are some leftovers. And you do not want to miss these leftovers. For $5 a box, you can have a serving. They are going to be sold as you leave the church today. Go down Smith Hall. If you haven't made lunch plans, even if you had made lunch plans, you want to change them because this chicken is good. A good 10 o'clock snack tonight, even if you've already cooked, you can still eat it about 10 o'clock. It does well then. So we want you to $5 per plate. You can get those. Charlie and his angels will be, that's what I've been told to call them. I didn't come up with it. I was just told to repeat it. They will be selling those, and all those proceeds will go straight to Spies Elementary. Let's see. Children's Celebration, Chicken, Fall Family Festival, handbells. Handbells are practicing today. Other things you'll see are listed there in your bulletin, upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week. So we're very, lots of things that are happening right now. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate you coming and being a part of worship today with us. If you're a guest, we have ushers that want to give something to you. They're coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Usher will recognize you and hand you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you will find a letter from our pastor as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we're very blessed by your presence this day, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way. Before we continue in worship, we'll recognize Jerry Cook.
Good morning.
here on behalf of the Deacon Nominating Committee and want to thank everybody for turning in names, praying for names and for candidates. And this morning we'd like to introduce the 11 nominees to the congregation. On November the 7th, we will be voting during the 11 o'clock service for the selection of the six final candidates to be the new diaconate members. And the week before November the 7th, if you're not going to be in town and you'd like to vote by absentee ballot, just go by the church office and Joan will have absentee ballots and you can sign for one and then vote absentee. And then balloting will close the night of November the 7th at 7 p.m. But this morning, two things. In the bulletin, there is a bio for all 11 people in there, so you can look at it today and through the week and pray over it. But I'd like to call each person up. Andrew Alsley is not here today. He had to. He is here. Okay, Andrew, all right. Andrew, come on down. So I'd like to put faces with names. So Andrew Alsley, Mike Beeson, if you'll come on down front, please. Carolyn Neely. Jay Edmonds, Janice Farmer, is up in the choir. He's going to be up there in the choir. Donna Henson, Robert Huff, choir also. Nancy Hurst, Virgil is not with us today. Karen Leffler, and Fred Patterson. One thing I would like to ask as a special is when you agree to have your name listed as a diaconate candidate, God has a way to start talking to you. And one of the things I would ask very prayerfully is to pray for each of the 11 people whose names are here for them, for God to speak to them, lead them, and help them think about the service that's in front of them and for our congregation as we prepare. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, Father, we ask you to be with each of the 11 and their family, to love them, bless them, speak to them, and speak to us, Lord. Help us to love you and to serve you all the days of our lives. And these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And we certainly appreciate the candidates coming forward for this time. It is time for us to prepare for worship. Raymond always does an amazing job of bringing God's word, but this morning was especially meaningful for me. And I hope that you, that God is going, he wants to do something in us. And, but it's up to us to listen. It's up to us to be ready and to take his lead, to follow his example. And I hope today, and I know we do a good job of focusing during worship, but today, 1 month to live, what does God have for you? Let's hear him speak together.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with joyful singing.
you pray with me? Father, remind us this morning what it sounds like when we make a joyful noise to you. Remind us what it sounds like deep in our soul when we truly recognize you for all that you are, all that you have done for us. Let this day be yours. Be in this place, we pray. Remove all other distractions that would keep us from focusing on you. Hear us, see us as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we enter into a time of pastoral and congregational care, I want to let you know that one of our dear friends, Larry Jones, passed away this morning. And I want to let you know that so we can all certainly pray for Gene and their family. We are planning toward a service here at the church on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we're not exactly sure of some of the visitation arrangements, but we'll certainly let you know if you want to contact the church office. And I think that information will probably be in the paper tomorrow. But certainly wanted to let you know as a prayer need to lift up part of our church family. As we come to a time of prayer together, why do we pray? Why do we spend this time in prayer? There's a beautiful passage that I love from James 5 that says, "Are you in trouble? You should pray. Are you happy? You should praise God. Are you sick? You should pray. Is someone else sick? You should pray for them." We pray to honor God, and we pray to draw closer to God, because God does honor the prayers of believers. And let us go to God in prayer right now. Dear Lord, it's powerful to realize that the things that are on our hearts and minds, the things that are troubling us, the things that are right in front of us right now, are things that you care about. And even though, Lord, sometimes we step away from you and are maybe not in as close a fellowship with you as we need to be, that you continue to love us and you continue to watch over us, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we lift up those who are hurting this morning, those who are struggling in different ways. We know about so many that are hurting physically. We know about the loss that people in our church family have experienced, some difficult situations that are going on. We lift these dear friends up to you. We lift them up so that you would continue to be with them, and that they would feel your presence and feel your strength so closely, that you would lift them up. And maybe those who are hurting have no idea how they will make it through today and tomorrow and the next day, because these losses and these pains are significant. But we pray that as they continue to go and continue to be lifted up by you and cared for and loved by you, that even though they may not even realize how it happens, that they will survive and they will go on, because you have carried them as you carry us so often. We can do nothing ourselves, Lord, but through you we can do anything. We're continually reminded of that, and continually reminded of the blessing of your love and your presence and your guidance in our lives and all that you mean to us. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing for us individually, for us as a church. It is inspiring and encouraging to see miracles happening on a daily basis. Hearts being changed, people being saved, people in need being helped and cared for, people showing love and concern to people they don't even know, kids finding new homes of love, people who haven't felt love in a while feeling the warm embrace of someone sharing the love of Christ. We are seeing these miracles every day, Lord, and we thank you for them. We give praise to you for helping the name of Jesus Christ be carried on in our world, and we want to be part of that, Lord. As believers and as a church family, we want to be part of that. We want to be encouragers. We want to be people who inspire and people who build up others each and every day. Lord, thank you for blessing this church the way that you have. Please guide us. Please lead us, because we want to be about your business, and we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ at Polo and Rinalda and all across our city and beyond. Lead us, guide us, Lord. Touch our hearts and help us to lift up others, to pray for others, to grow closer to you, and to make today a special day and this week a special week, because today is the only day that we have. It is a gift from you, and we want to live in a way that honors you and that shows our appreciation for that gift. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the incredible gifts, the incredible blessings you bestow upon our lives. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of seeing the results of the missions that you've given us. We thank you for the children that are down the hall right now and the youth that are leading their worship. We thank you for the 11 that are willing to serve as deacons, for the confessions of faith and baptisms, the lives that are dedicated to your service, for helping the people in our neighborhood, and for giving shelter to another family in Kentucky, for helping strangers pay hospital bills, for supporting missionaries, disaster relief, for allowing our youth to see the power of their prayers, for providing a sanctuary for Wake Forest students and others that are passing through our neighborhood, for our partnership with SPEES, for celebrating your holiness with our neighbors. And we thank you for calling us to reevaluate our priorities and to ask us, and we ask that you would bless us as we support our ministry action plan with these offerings. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Last week we began an exciting and I believe potentially life-changing series entitled One Month to Live, 30 Days to a No Regrets Life. And if you haven't, if you weren't here last week and you didn't get one of the bookmarks, which walks you through the 30 days and has some suggested scripture readings there, these are available on the table as you go out. It'll be right next to where Charlie and his angels are. Okay, so that'll give you a reference point, but they'll be there on the table. You're welcome to pick those up. I'd like for you to have that. Today we're going to spend a little bit more time examining the first principle we discovered last week's from Jesus' life about how to have a no regrets life. And the first suggestion is to live passionately. And passion is such an interesting word because it is so overused, it is so abused. It has a fruit named after it, and you know where all that goes, I don't know. But this morning, I want us to read a translation of Mark chapter 12, verse 30, that brings this word back to life, I think, for us in the proper perspective. Mark chapter 20, verse 30, I think it's in the Message translation, says, "So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Love the Lord your God with all your passion, your prayer, your intelligence, and your energy. See, note the use of the word passion here, but God wants you to love him with passion. Now, that sounds like an overstatement of the obvious, but he does. He created you to live a life of passion. You were made for the capacity for passion because God is a God who is passionate. He feels things so deeply. And regardless of your personality, no matter what your profile is, and regardless of your personality, I firmly believe that God made each and every single one of us to be passionate people, to feel things deeply. Romans 12, verse 11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." The word there that caught my eye was keep. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. To me, that implies the fact that we could lose it. If it says keep it, that implies we could lose our passion for life. That we could lose our passion for the Lord. So Paul is exhorting us, keep these things. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You know, if God created us to be passionate people, then why don't we? Why don't we exist as passionate people? I want to suggest this morning that even though we were created to be passionate, that sometimes life just literally beats the passion out of you. Have you ever been there? Where the circumstances of life just beat you down to the point where you go, I can't be passionate. I'm just trying to survive here. A quote from Howard Thurman that I like says, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it." Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. That quote challenges me. Because sometimes we just exist. And what we need to recapture is how we live with passion. But you know, I admit, some days it's not easy. There are so many things that crowd into our lives that threaten to steal your passion. And I personally kind of gravitate toward an overcrowded schedule. I know it comes as a shock to some of you. Some of you help me with that. Yeah, some of you fill up my empty time. And maybe you do too. I don't know. Just in terms of survey, how many of you feel this morning like you have plenty of time to get everything you'd like to get done by the end of the day? Raise your hand. How many of you are just too tired to raise your hand? Yeah. That's kind of how we are. And the 1 month to live journey that we're on for the next month is to help you to learn to create margin in your crowded lives so you can live more passionately. And you say, Raymond, what's margin? I'm glad you ask. Dr. Richard Swenson in his book, Margin, said margin is the difference between your load and your limit. It's the difference between your load and your limit. So the less margin that you have in life, the more stress. The more stress you have. You know, it's kind of like if you got an edition of the Bible and it was a misprint and there was no spaces between the words and there was no margin. It was just continual letters that just read across. That would be chaotic. That would be incomprehensible. But sometimes we live our lives exactly like that. When we have no margin, then life becomes chaotic. It becomes incomprehensible, intolerable. But when we put a little bit of margin and space in our lives, it all starts to make sense again. We can understand what it means. But most of us just simply live without margin. Let me give an example. We live where we have no margin physically. We don't get enough rest. We don't eat right. We don't get proper exercise, right? We live with no margin in our schedules. Our calendars are just booked solid. Our phones beep at us constantly, reminding us of something else we've got to do. We have no margin in our finances. We live from paycheck to paycheck, so therefore, we don't ever feel like we're out from underneath the burden of paying the bills. We have absolutely no margin left in our life, and yet we wonder why in the world we don't feel passionate about life. It's like, preacher, I'd love to live a passionate life, but I can't get there. I don't see how I can get there. I want to give you a story today. One of my favorite stories in Scripture. And I want you to open your Bible up and stay with me, because I'm going to be referring back to it. If you see me do this, that's just from reflex, the 9 o'clock service, because the scripture's on the screen. So if I do that, I'm not dancing. It's force of habit. So what I want you to do is open your Bible and leave it open to Luke chapter 5, to where when I do this, you can look down. You know that's what I mean, okay? Luke chapter 5, it's a common story. We've heard it over and over and over, but I want to look at it a little bit differently today. Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to pick up in verse 18 and read a few verses, then skip down to verse 24. Beginning in verse 18, of course, this is the story of the friends who bring their paralyzed friend to see Jesus. In verse 18, it says, "Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" Then down to verse 24. Well, let me back up to 23. Jesus is replying, "Which is easier, to say 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe, and they said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" I love this passage. I love the determination, the focus, the intentionality of these teenage boys. They're going to get their friend to Jesus. Nothing was going to stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. And the way that this passage ends, "We have seen remarkable things today," makes me ask the question of us. What would it take? What would it take for us to leave here today saying, "We have seen remarkable things"? What would it take? Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be remarkable if all of us could, by the end of the day, decide that we were going to focus on the things that really count, so that we could have the same kind of passion and intentionality in our lives that we see from these teenage boys? These guys were trying to get their friend to Jesus so that he could be healed. But they ran into a little problem in verse 19, where it says they could not find a way to do it because of the crowd. You see, the worst thing about a Christian's life is the fact that it's crowded. It keeps me from being close to Christ. It keeps you from being close to Christ. I personally can always tell when my life's too crowded, when my schedule is overloaded, because I quit living passionately, and I'm content just to get to the end of the day and say, "Well, I accomplished a few things." I walk in, Sandra says, "How was your day?" I go, it's okay. I mean, I got 3/4 of my to-do list done. I guess that makes it a good day. But that's not enough. That's not what God wants for us. He wants so much more from that. You know, and I think maybe that's the biggest sin of our congregation. I don't know your secret sin. I don't care to know your secret sin. But I know that probably all of us are living lives without passion. We're not living, we're just existing. And that's not what God wants. He desires so much more. And if you want to recapture the passion in life, I want to challenge you to do what these guys did. And we're going to break it down in bite-sized pieces. The first thing that they did is they did something drastic. In verse 19 it says, when they could not find a way to get their friend to Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. The crowd was keeping them from Christ, so they did something drastic. Now, if you're going to restore the passion in your life, I would dare say you need to stop and ask yourself the drastic question that we asked last week and we'll ask every week. And that is, if you knew you only had 1 month to live, what would you do? How would you live your life? How would you live your life differently than you're tempted to live it today? Do something drastic. realize what's important. You know, as we discussed last week, when people find out that they have a short period of time, when they get that diagnosis, when it seems like they're only going to have a short period of time left, they become very focused. All of a sudden, they realize what matters is relationships. Suddenly, people, you know, they're set free. And the things that they said they always wanted to do, they do it. The things that they have meant to say to people, to bless other people, to build those relationships, all of a sudden they do it. You know, they forgive. They forgive people. They easily accept forgiveness. All of that stuff. They make time for things that are important. Instinctively, their vision is clarified. They see the big picture. They get it. And that's exactly what happened to these friends. They thought this may be the last chance that their friend had. And so they became very focused. They said, forget the roof. We'll tear the roof apart because we're going to get this guy to see Jesus. That is their clear focus. They realized what was important and they were passionate about it. But realize when you ask this clarifying question about what would you do, you may have a point where you have to remove some obstacles. You decide what's important and then you cut out everything else. You cut out the ceiling tiles. You don't care about that stuff anymore. There was an obstacle there for these guys. They removed it. And we need to be that drastic in our lives. We need to be that honest with God and ourselves. So what I want to encourage you to do, and what I'm trying to do in my own life, is to figure out what's really important, cut out everything else, and do the things that really matter the most. And as we do that, I am convinced that we will rediscover the passion in our lives and in our relationships. So let's assume we got that message. We realize what's important. We're working on removing the obstacles. We're doing something drastic. Understand what may happen is the unexpected may come along. So I would say number two is expect the unexpected. You know, we prioritize our life based on what's important. We plan. You know, we come up with a plan, but sometimes things don't always go like we've planned. Life interrupts us. As the commercial says, life comes at you fast. It's a great series of commercials, by the way. I love that. But things come into our life. They're crazy. They're hectic. And all of a sudden, you know, we've got to change. We've got to do something differently. We have to lighten up our attitude and just say to God, God, I give it to you. It's yours. You know, I can't handle it. You're in control. I don't know why I even bothered. It's yours. You're in control. But human pride, this whole self-dependence thing, you know, that we're taught as children to be kind of self-reliant, that gets in the way. We try to control our own lives and the details of our existence. That's what we try to do. And that's really what happened to these guys. You know, they knew where Jesus would be. Detail, checked off. We know where he's going to be. We know what time he's going to be there. Check that off. We know how to get to that place. Yeah. Going to plan, and they show up and go, whoa, look at the crowd. The unexpected happened. They had this perfect plan to get their friend healed, but when they got there, they realized, whoa, things are not as we had expected. They hadn't planned on a packed house. They realized there was no way they could get through the front door, and they feared that they could not get their friend to Jesus. So they said, well, hey, let's call it a day. We gave it a college try. We're out of here. Let's go get something to drink. No. No. They said, look, we've got to come up with another plan. We've got to kind of roll with the changes. We've got to figure out what we want to do next. It's passion that allows us to roll with those changes and say, God, show me the next step. Show me the next step. Where do I go from here? These guys got creative. I got to tell you, I mean, they tore the roof up. You know, if you could see the construction of that part of the world, you realize that there, you know, they have these beams that are there, and then they have the branches that are over the top of it, and then they have mud and stuff on top of it. So when they started tearing this stuff out, you know, it started falling down. Okay, it created a stir. And then they lowered their friend right down in front of Jesus. But then Jesus did something that was very unexpected. Look in verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the guy laying on the mat went, sins? I wanted to walk out of here. Guys, we came all this way to talk about sins? Jesus, don't you get it? We wanted you to heal our friend. We'll deal with the sin part later. That's not what they said. That's probably what we expected them to say. But they didn't do that. They received, he received the unexpected. You know, when we need to learn how to receive the unexpected, because Jesus knows what's best. Again, that sounds like the overstatement of the obvious, but he knows what's best for us. This man needed spiritual healing even more than he needed physical healing. So Jesus healed him spiritually first and then physically, because God knows what's best for us, period. And when these young men got to the house, it was so crowded, it didn't look like it was going to be a miracle of God. But a human-focused eye sees the problems. A spiritually focused eye sees the potential. And these friends' passion allowed them to carry out their plan, look for a change in plan. God, what do we do next? And they got him before Jesus, and something unexpected happened. And that's where trust comes in. Learning to passionately pursue what we value and expect God to change as need be and bless as he sees fit. Lead us through that change. The third thing that they did is they created a God space. In verse 19, it says these men looked into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Right there in the middle of the crowd, they created a space that wasn't there so that their friend could meet with Jesus. And in the same way, in the middle of our overcrowded, overscheduled lives, we need to create a space intentionally to meet with Jesus. Because if we're not doing the important things now, we're not going to get them done. We just simply won't, it won't become a priority. You know, we should take a great lesson from Jesus. Look what Jesus did. It's a fascinating passage. I'm going to give you a chance to turn to it because it's a great read. Mark chapter 1. It's just back a few pages from where you are in Luke. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning in verse 35. This is how Jesus handled the problem of making space in his life. And it's so insightful. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." That may be the greatest line in Scripture. I don't know. Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." You see, even Jesus had to create space in his life, in his demanding schedule, so he could meet and talk alone with his Father. It says the disciples came running up and says, "Jesus, where are you? Everyone's looking for you." What they're really saying here is, "Jesus, you're disappointing people. They're disappointed. You need to hurry. You need to go and meet with them and help them with their needs. You need to go to the hospital. You need to go to the nursing home. You need to go to Brookridge. You need to go see so-and-so who hasn't been here for 3 weeks. You need to see this person who's dying or this person who's lost their father. You're disappointing them. They're expecting you." See how easy it can become personal? Yeah. But Jesus knew what was most important. And he knew that he had to make the decision to leave and to separate himself from the crowd and spend time alone with his Father. That is the secret of maintaining your passion in a crowded world. The most important one for us to spend time with isn't demanding. He's patiently and lovingly waiting for us. We just have to create a space to meet with him. We must create a space to meet with him. If you say, I don't have time for that, let me read you a passage from Proverbs 10, verse 27. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. That's simple math. God is the great multiplier. We see it all through Scripture. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Well, there's a fourth thing that I think is very important if we want to live passionately, and that is to keep a constant reminder. Look again in Luke chapter 5. I'll give you a second to flip back over. Luke chapter 5, second part of verse 24. It says that Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. That struck me as interesting. Because what I would have expected him to say was something along the line of, get up, take up your mat, throw it in the trash. You're not going to need it anymore. Throw it away. But he didn't do that. Of course, he never needed that mat again, but that's not the point. Jesus said, take up your mat, take that mat home with you. And I think maybe, I don't know, but I think maybe the reason is so that that man could roll it up, place it at a point where he could see it clearly every day. To where as he walked by that mat, he would be reminded what a merciful God we serve. Amen? What a merciful God that we serve. And he could go away praising God every day. Imagine that. Living passionately. What kind of reminders do you have of God's mercy? God's grace? What kind of reminders do you have in place in your life that reminds you to live life passionately? I've got a couple of reminders I wear. One is this yellow Live Strong, and that's for family reasons. But I've added to that 1 month to live little green rubber bracelet. And I can tell you, twice this past week, it did its job of reminding me to focus on the things that were most important. We've got them. They're out at the, they look like this. They're wrapped very neatly in cellophane, little package. They're out on the table out there beside the bookmarks, beside Charlie and his angels. Okay. And they're out there. If you would like to pick one of these up, take one. Please take one. If you will use it, or if you can give it to someone else as a tool to help, you know, share the gospel with them, whatever you would like to do. But if you think that would be helpful for you, they're there. But it doesn't have to be a bracelet. It can be anything, but put things in your life, put reminders in your life where you'll know how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, how he wants you to live a life that's passionate for him about the things that really matter. Finally, I love this phrase in the passage where it says immediately, and it's in verse 25. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Immediately. That speaks to us today. If we want to avoid what we talked about last week, the someday syndrome, then these changes we're talking about need to be done immediately. Start today uncrowding our lives in order to restore passion in our lives. We want to start asking that question, what do I need to change so that when I get to my final day, I can say I lived life without regrets. We start today. We make those changes. We expect the unexpected. We do drastic things. We trust God to see us through those times. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Gracious Father, we don't know how to do it. We see example from Scripture and we read how your son lived his life here. And sometimes we think that's just an intellectual exercise. But Father, help us to personalize that, to live the example that Christ gave us, that these young men gave us, to live passionately, to understand what's most important in life and reprioritize, cut out the extraneous, all the stuff that doesn't need to be in our lives. Father, help us to create time to meet with you, to create a God space that you and I have a chance to commune with one another, to fellowship, to learn. Father, help us to put reminders in place in our life to remind us in those times when we're so busy and get off track how much you really desire the best for us, not just the busiest. God, we love you, but we're going to need your help. And we pray that you would touch our hearts now and begin doing an amazing act of healing physically, spiritually, emotionally in our lives, even now. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. In just a minute, we're going to stand up and sing. And the purpose of singing is not just to fill out the time to where things can happen for us to get ready to leave the service. The purpose in singing is that we read the words, we sing the words to God as an act of commitment. And I want to challenge you, as you read the words to the hymn that we're going to sing, make that your prayer of commitment to God. You know, I don't know how to phrase it any other way. I really don't. I desire for you the best that God has for you. If you're not a believer, then you haven't even begun to experience the best he has for you. I certainly would love to talk with you when we stand and sing. I'll be here at the front, or call me this week. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's step number one. But if you are a believer and you're just feeling like you're going through your checklist, you're just existing, you're not really living, God wants so much more for you. And this is your time just to give it all back to him and say, God, help me restructure this crazy mess I call a life. And then trust him as he begins to show you what that looks like. You can certainly pray that there. You can come, the altar will be open. I'll be glad to speak with you. Whatever you would like to do in terms of helping to kind of nail down the beginning of that process. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a member of this church, we receive members in many ways. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to spend serious time with God as you sing the words of this hymn as a prayer of commitment. Would you stand with me? invite you to come back this afternoon, beginning 4 o'clock, and enjoy a great time of fellowship together. Let's pray and ask for God's guidance. Father, we pray that you would guide us, that you would walk with us, that you would give us the gentle nudges that we need, and the pretty tough pushes when we need those as well. Father, we thank you for this time that we've spent together in worship of you. Father, we pray that you would allow us the privilege of ministering on your behalf as your hands and feet during the course of this week. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.